World building.
Yep,
need that. Even for modern mysteries, contemporary romance, horror. Especially need that for anything historical. Anything for the future. Historical mystery, historical action, historical thriller, fantasy set in the Middle Ages, or classical antiquity, or in a world that's newly imagined, we need to understand our magic systems. Science fiction set here, or space opera on a space station, or boldly going where no one has gone before, with tech or ideas that make it science fiction, like dirigibles in steampunk. All that may not make it to the page, but it helps our brains, the creative muse side. Where do we start with world building? What do we include? How do we build our worlds? Maybe this episode of The Right Focus can help. Welcome to The Right Focus. We cover productivity, process, craft, and tools. Our podcast episodes last as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, drive a short commute, or take a brisk walk. All through the summer months, we focus on the craft of writing novels and novellas and epics, from beginning ideas to prepping for publication, week by week by week. World building is the underpinnings for our people, the world our characters move through, manipulate and maneuver to reach goals, encounter obstacles and barriers to overcome. It's more than time and setting. It's culture. It's what we use in our culture. It's how we function. It's the social structures in which we operate. And there are so many parts that it's hard to remember them all. Whole books have been written about this subject. The speculative fiction genres of fantasy and science fiction require it, and several writers have published their own books, including detailed information about drawing your own world. If you work in the speculative fiction genres, invest in these long-term references. If you cannot afford the investment, add them to your wish list as a high priority for others to buy for you. Here are the reasons for world building. People function together through a variety of systems, whether hierarchical, political, or natural. In a contemporary mystery, when we throw our protagonist into jail, which is G-A-O-L in British English, we need to know the particular jargon that fits that world. In life, we have whole sets of field-related jargon that we truly don't understand. Whenever we use a word that is specific to a field, we need to know the specific meaning. When we create the world of our novel, we also need to ensure that we understand how that world works. Nothing will jar readers out of a novel faster than misuse of a word that they use daily. A character who receives probation is vastly different from one who gets out on parole. Even contemporary novels must know their worlds. Here is my own partial list that I usually work through when creating my own world. Sometimes I work through every item on the list. Usually I don't. However, as of this writing, I'm over 20 books into fiction writing, counting all my pseudonyms, with a growing number of nonfiction books. When I began writing fantasy, you know, in the Dark Ages, I filled a 3-inch ring binder with such diverse topics as weapons, food, sample names, locations, rank and status, and my own card game. This was a thick master book of the book. I broke away from that world for over a decade before I picked it back up when I began self-publishing. The binder was extremely helpful to remind myself of the world as I revised that earlier and very juvenile novel. Most world building occurs when we want to create a world completely separate from our own. If we're writing of a different culture in a different part of our real world, we need to build that world so we are not constantly researching the language, the social and governmental hierarchies, the plants and animals, the food and eating habits, the religion and its traditions and holidays, and a host of other things that we take for granted. How do we start world building? With the stomping ground. From there, we consider how the stomping ground fits into the world at large. Basic terms can trip us up, so never assume. For example, a city has a cathedral along with churches, while a town only has churches. A village has a church, while a hamlet does not. The distinction comes from what the population can support, not from the size of the population alone. Libraries and museums and theaters usually require a population with a higher level of education. All communities have methods by which they entertain themselves, whether it's vendors, such as cinemas, or organized recreation, such as softball leagues. Whether historical or contemporary, Real or speculative, we build our world simply by considering our own world. Our current and past life serves as a model. Stories are never in a vacuum. Even the space stations of science fiction have locations analogous to our contemporary world. A short list includes the ship berths at docks, warehousing, shops and workplaces, central government and business enterprises, entertainment and meeting spaces, services and commerce, think repair shops and banks, agricultural areas, educational services, and cultural areas. While we do not have to delve into all of the following, we should have a good understanding of how these will occur. Often, in building the world, we discover intriguing snippets to add to our story, like J.K. Rowling's horrible candies of atrocious names and her development of the game Quidditch, which becomes a necessary plot element in every book. These intriguing snippets set our work apart from other similar stories and provide opportunities for licensing the snippets to game, toy, and clothing businesses, as well as many more opportunities. Here are the basic considerations. Communication. How does it occur within the stomping grounds and beyond to the region, local, state, national, and internationals? What areas would have better technology and why? Medical establishments are necessary for treating diseases and wounds. Basic hygiene prevents the spread of diseases. The level of medical care is dependent upon the level of communication and technology, as well as the support received from an enlightened ruling authority. Civil authority, elected or appointed or inherited, controls regions of the world. How does civil authority maintain its power? Through law enforcement, which always begins local. The enforcers of the law are not the makers of the law, nor are they the punishers of the law. Consider the legislative and justice systems in our world. What are these separate entities? Modern first world societies have separated these institutions. However, in antiquity, these institutions are closely connected. Law enforcement is considered separate from the military, an armed force controlled by the government for the sole purpose of the defense of the nation from encroaching nations. The military is land and sea and air based on the level of technology. While education has developed modern distinctions based on age, the procedure of learning remains on the principles of grammar, preparatory, and scholarship. Grammar schools provide rudimentary learning that the majority will receive. Complex preparatory learning leads to greater scholarship. Professional learning requires intense scholarship to master. Socioeconomic demographics create a modern caste system. In the past, birth, the Blue Bloods, inherited the ruling status. In the United States, we glorify people of great wealth or celebrity that has given them great wealth, whether they deserve their glorification or not. We mistake infamy for fame. What will the strata of your society be? Religion has had a strong role in developing our daily lives. Our weekly, monthly, and yearly calendars are based on religious observances. Holidays were formerly the only special observances of the year. And holidays, by the way, come from holy days. What will be the pantheon of your gods? Yes, even in contemporary novels, the characters will have gods, whether they are the gods of the major religions of our world or scientific beliefs. The ancient Greeks, while worshiping their gods, also ridiculed every one of their deities. Other cultures feared gods and would not dare be sacrilegious. The ancient Greeks also believed their gods were immortal, yet Norse gods knew they would die. All the ancient religions practiced human sacrifice, from the ancient Druids to the Aztecs and even the Greeks. For example, an earlier chronological event in the Iliad is Agamemnon's sacrifice of his daughter Iphigenia so the ships can launch for Troy. That human sacrifice exhibited his depravity, as well as shows the modern reader that Homer's appalled listeners had abandoned the practice of their past. Religions can also be government-approved or not, accepted by the government but considered mere superstition by the social elite, or an outright rebellion against the government. In any society, more than one denomination of a single religion will occur. People cannot agree on doctrinal rules. Cities will have not just an abundance of denominations, but also of different religions. Some of these religions will be accepted. Several will be on the fringes of acceptability, and a few will be underground. Some religions accept that the seven deadly sins remain sinful. Some allow two or three of those sins under certain conditions. Just as a society can have many reviews of religion, that same society will have many divergent mores related to intimacy and sexual encounters. Intimacy builds relationships. How will relationships between intimates be formalized? Will relationships be imposed upon people who are not intimates, such as marriages of the upper classes? In medieval times, were contractual for the gain of status, lands, or wealth, rather than based on the growth of a relationship. What will be the basic family structures for your world? Technology affects not only communication and the military, but also a country's infrastructure. What will the technology allow? What cannot occur because of the technology or restrictions by authorities on the use of technology? Will you have underground technology? As we develop these areas, whether we go into great detail or just make a couple of notes, we need to watch for anachronisms. Now, we look at the natural constraints on people. World building can be thought of as only topographical, and it is. But have you considered your world's mountains and valleys, plains and swamps, forests, meadows, pastures and fields, which are tilled acreage, ponds, lakes, oceans and streams, creeks, rivers, waterfalls and cascades, dams and river locks, frontiers and borders, and how will those borders be maintained? Old ruins and traces of previous civilizations almost lost to time? Understand the regions and the climates of those regions. How will weather systems work? How will people cope with the extremes of the weather? Two things greatly affected by climate are food and clothing. Food sources include farms, packagers, local markets, and brick-and-mortar stores, seasonal goods, and specialty items. As for clothing, how does the clothing get to the purchaser? Who makes each item of clothing, from woven cloth to leather? Clothing is chosen by climate and season. Personal ornamentation, from jewelry to tattoos, is considered clothing. Such personal items not only have sentimental attachment, but can also be worn to show groups to which a person belongs. A society's level of civilization affects the four basics of life: sunlight, clean water, clean air, and good soil. First world civilizations struggle with pollution of water and soil and smog, which affect air and sunlight. Third world countries struggle to find good water and soil, and may have sources that are polluted through inadequate hygiene. So how will your people of your novel have access to these four? Will they be so common that they're taken for granted, or will they require filters for use? Will finding water be drudgery, as it was on farms before wells and buckets had to be carried from local creeks and ponds? Will people jog along smog-filled streets? Will every step outside be an encounter with bad air? Large cities provide green spaces for their citizens. Small towns have easy access to the natural world. How do the green spaces change when the weather changes? How does access change? While the presence of something means that we take it for granted, the absence can be just as remarkable. On a space station, how the local institutions might provide representations of nature, and the reasons for those representations can provide intriguing asides for the primary characters. Consider the access that people will have to certain locations. I read widely and eclectically. Of late, in several books set on space stations, I have encountered ordinary characters who retreat to agricultural pods in order to connect to nature or to have a bit of privacy. While they're enjoying the green spaces, I'm wondering why the authorities aren't worried about contamination of food and water sources. What allows ordinary people to have access into such privileged areas? Even more interesting, how did other people who are not allowed into the agricultural pod function without connection to the green world? Transportation across the natural world from one location as a farm to another, a city, is affected by infrastructure which is dependent on technology. When working beyond our contemporary world, consider how transportation occurs. Consider the difficulties of road building, traveling those roads, and the time that travel would take using the common methods of travel. In science fiction, space travel follows laws. While we do not need to know or convey to the reader the nuts and bolts of an FTL engine, you need to create rules for that faster-than-light travel. If you use wormholes, do you need FTL? Listening to film buffs criticize a film for breaking its own rules about hyperjump helps us realize the importance of following rules that we have set up. The colonial frontier stopped at the Appalachian Mountains until Daniel Boone found the Cumberland Gap. 15 miles became a common distance between towns because of how long it took to travel between them and back to the homestead. Historical novelists should consider not just how long it takes to travel a distance, but the difficulties of travel as well as the reason for the difficulties. Time travel will also operate by particular laws, and several speculative fiction works have pondered the problems when travelers change a historic event. Magic, while supernatural, is considered natural. It functions by many of the same laws that govern the physical world. How do the laws of magic operate? I advise you not to make your magic users omnipotent, like a god. If a user of magic is unstoppable, how can they be stopped when they become a threat to society? Is magic grounded in the elements? Does it function like lightning? What effect does the use of magic have on its user? How is magic acquired? How does someone train to use magic? What can oppose this magic? What are the rules of the opposing power? Who cannot use magic? What determines who can wield magic and who cannot? Since magical users can go rogue, how can they be punished? What will cage their magic? Lastly, if at all possible, create an image board of key locations and maps and house space, station plans, and other specific elements. Purchase a large foam board or a science trifold project board. If you get tired of visitors seeing your world and yapping about your writing, a trifold project board can be stowed in your closet whenever they come. That's not all on world building, yet it's more than enough for starting your novel. It's enough for when you encounter difficulties and need to come back and figure out where the difficulties may lie. Remember, this is all a work in progress, and details should and will change as you write. Next week, we delve into secondary characters, and it's a deep dive. For now, we have inspiration from Cormac McCarthy, who says writing is a messy business. You wind up with shoeboxes of scrap paper. Yep, helps when we organize as we go. Thanks for listening to The Write Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, hosted by M.A. Lee with the assistance of Remy Black and Edie Runes from Writers, Inc. Books. All through the summer months, our focus is the craft of writing. We are discovering your novel from beginning idea to prepping for publication. We'll work through the process stages of foundations to story, envisioning the story, analyzing story before, during, and after the draft, harvesting the story through revisions and enhancements, and prepping the story for publication. Many of these preps and guides are useful setups for the National Novel Writing Month in November. That's writing only, you know, no idea work. We can also use this information to solve issues with stories that we've abandoned. All those stories are crying in the wilderness. Time to rescue them with the right focus. Show notes for this and other episodes can be found at therightfocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at winkbooks@aol.com. Remember, whatever occurs, write on.